Monday, March 7, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45 p.m. Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:00 p.m.
Why wouldn't she be?
Scotty, you gonna run from there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Some of the dates I noticed aren't right on here. It's like I sent them.
Yeah, the dates and then the names on the.
I reached there and I crossed through and recorrected some of those, but I didn't even. I mean, I sent them.
This is your whole
concept.
Yeah.
These are the new people.
Thought this girl in chairs got it. Sounds like and
so he's
still wrong.
Girl, the dates have been.
We'll just correct them. I guess I'm right. I'm in the manual. That's the way I'll copy it.
I mean, otherwise they look fucking.
Yeah.
Just the dates and the names are wrong.
Sam, for he dated it 2/15/22 when he signed it. I did.
He did.
Same.
Oh, so, Sam.
I guess the good thing is he probably didn't update his fees.
Sam's not up with it.
And 7/26, it should be 7/25.
Okay, let's, should we get this thing started? What time is it?
Because.
2:45.
Okay, let's, get the recorder going, John. Okay, let's call the meeting to order for the Board of Equalization. Stand up, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, grab a copy of the open meeting that I just posted near the entrance of the county boardroom. Is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott Love?
Yes.
Janet Gill?
Yes.
Larry Albanishes?
Here.
Troy Lonsby?
Here.
Robert Geese?
Here.
Okay, we got the consent agenda items, number one. We got the approval of the previous minutes on February 7th of 2022.
So moved.
Second. Okay, we got a motion by Bob and a second by Larry. We call roll, please, Joan.
Janet? I have a question. I was told that these meetings weren't posted publicly. Kim, did you have a chance to research that?
They were posted in the newspaper and the post office where they were supposed to be. So.
What's the agenda? I thought it was supposed to be three places. Were they not posted? We know.
I'm not sure where all it was posted, but it was posted in accordance with your reorganizational meeting decisions. The email is more of a complimentary.
Oh, I was thinking the website.
I did get it on the website.
Website.
Is that one of the places that you post? I guess I don't.
I try to.
But was that listed as a required place in your reorganizational meeting? I just don't have it written down.
I thought it only had to go in the store.
And it goes at the post office.
Post office on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Paper, post office, and I don't keep track of where you post.
They recommend that we put it on our website. It's a recommendation, and it's a required, I think, for if you're a certain size county, which
we are.
Yeah.
But that is until July 31st, I don't believe, this year.
I think we're.
So we're fine.
I don't know. Like I said, I was just curious because I did get notified on that. I'm going to ask the question when Kim's here, so.
Yeah,
okay,
it was in the paper in all your places that you normally put in.
So on July 31st, the rules change apparently on that? Okay.
But we still don't.
You have to go to 25,000.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're under 25,000.
Yeah. So, okay. All right.
I mean, Jonah's nice and, you know, sends it to people.
Oh, I know. I know. Like I said, I just want to make sure that this we can act on.
Yeah.
Topics today. That's my commitment question. Okay. All right.
All righty.
Janet, do you approve the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to new business. A, the board to approve and appoint and set comprehensive for the use of the certified appraisers of the referees for property valuation protest. Okay, so the first one we have is the approved referee agreement with Innovations, whatever, Appraisal Services, Inc. for residential and commercial. And we all have copies of all three of these that we're going to be going through. And obviously, I think the only thing we need to correct is a few other dates, correct, Joan? Is that right?
And the names on a couple.
A name on a couple of them. But other than that, everything's in order.
Yep.
With them, okay.
Are the rates the same? I'm just, didn't have a chance to look at last year's.
It looks like the data collections and analysts in-house is 75. The remote is 75. 80 for...
This is last year's, Janet.
Oh, this is last year's, so
no.
It's the same?
No, up there, I'm sorry. This is last year's that you approved.
Okay.
And he didn't change any of the dates. Let's see if he changed any of his fees. Well, there's his fee.
Just the same.
Yep.
Okay. 77, 75, 80, and 150.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. Thank you.
And yeah, that was what. And yeah, that was what you signed last year in 21. 4A to 21. So we just need to change that first paragraph to today's date, 3/7/22, and then he's expected to have this done by, it's the 20, normally the 25th, I think they granted us an extra day, or maybe he went one day past. The deadline for to hear is July 25th. Do you think that's the date he meant to put?
Well, he put the 26th, so...
But of 21, so...
Yeah.
Let's put 7... Let's change that to 7/25 of...
22. Yeah, that's what...
Standard has for his secretary. And then there's one more date under termination.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll put that as the 7/25 of 22.
So anyways, we good on that one?
That's, yeah, the first one.
So let's, I need a motion.
Is Chrissy fine with all these?
She gave them to me. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
She's, okay, yeah, they're like, she wants, okay.
I'll make a motion to approve Innovative Appraisal Services with the
correction of the
corrections
dates
that we made.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion, Innovative with Bob, and a second by Troy. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, on the same note, we're going to go to number two, the approval referee agreement with Standard Appraisal Services for commercial and ag and residential parcels.
And I can pull up what he did last year. And we can fill in 307 on that top line.
Otherwise, he has the 25th, same thing you have on there, 7/25 of 2022.
And the compensation's a little bit different on that one, doesn't it? Has raised his rates. Referee at 90 versus 75, and coordinator at 110 versus 98. About 10% on first category.
And these are all, we had these all last year.
Okay.
Otherwise, the dates are right?
Yes.
Everything's right? So I'll make a motion to approve standard appraisal services.
Okay, Bob, got a motion by Bob on standard. And do we have a second on the table?
Second.
So a second by Larry. Will you call roll, please, on that?
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet? Yes. Larry?
Okay, lastly, on number three, we have the approval of the referee agreement with, is it Halvig?
Halvig.
Halvig Agricultural Service Company for ag parcels. So, obviously, the first one we see was for the commercial and residential, then obviously number two is commercial, ag, and residential. This particular company, it looks like it's just ag parcel.
Last year, he did not do anything for us.
Okay.
Oh, but, didn't need him? But Christy is thinking that there's going to be more ag changes this year, so we're reaching out to him again.
So we need to get our deduction in a row. So same thing with the
date. A little bit too, Kim. Hmm. Do you want to change that to 215 to 22 to 307?
Yes. And then the 726 again.
Should be the 25th. He's got the 26th. He's got the right year, but it should be 25 because.
Oh, 25. Okay.
That is the deadline.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve Helvig.
I'll second that.
Services.
With the, of course, with the changes.
With the changes.
Okay. We got a motion by Bob, second by Janet. We call roll, please, on the Helvig.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet? Yes. Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to number three. We got mail emergency business. Is there anything, Joan, that you have?
I do not.
Joan does not. We got number four, public comment. Does anybody here in the public want to comment anything on what was just discussed? Okay, number five, we are adjourned from our county board of equalization meeting.
255.
Okay, we got that set, so we're ready to roll with that.
All right.
Very little, hopefully.
But she was just going to rip the Band-Aid off, she said, but then now she's kind of changing her mind. Yeah, she's not going to get as much changed as she wanted. What's that? Protest values.
Oh.
That doesn't have to July, does it? She gets all the values out now.
The board.
Okay, she gets it set up now. And then they get approved through state, and then they're sent to all the people by paper. Okay, it's coming up. And then they have to turn their invite. June 1st, June 30th is the deadline to protest.
Going down, but.
We can start hearing them in June, and July 25th is the deadline.
Crunch time.
Yeah, every two meetings a week, probably for a month. What cycle is it this year? Is there usually there's one cycle that ends up being more like 1 year it was Homer community, 1 year it was Bakeridge's.
I don't know where they're at.
When do they do commercial? Does that come up as a cycle?
It does.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it's on the cycle.
As far as tax statements.
They do in-depth evaluations of, like, they did Homer one, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I remember, and then they did Acreages last year. Mm. And they said, I remember Christy said there's, like, a cycle that they cycle through certain types of properties or communities. Hmm. So I was curious if there was that cycle.
Let's hope not. I didn't take so much. I just took a job from John.
Yeah, I think there's all. I think all have been done in the last
three,
no, five or seven. Yeah. And I think they're on, you know, that kind of time frame where they should be done.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, because I know they're none of commercial hasn't come up during my time here yet.
And I don't know about a lot of the commercial around town, but I know my commercial from the time that I bought it in '96 to probably.
I'm going to say 2015, it was super low. Mm-hmm. I mean, silly low. Where my house was, I spent more on my house than I was my business. Mm-hmm. Might have been a little before then, but now,
yeah,
I think it's in check now.
Keeping pace.
Yeah.
Because I know there's automatic adjustments, but yeah, then they kind of do it, yeah, like an analysis.
Yeah. You know? I can't remember when they did that analysis because of the fact that I remember it going, it took a jump, but it was realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, it was more reality. But at the time, it was like, Jesus.
Yikes.
Yeah, you know.
Yikes.
But
it would have been easier to have a little hit all those years every year than one big one.
Well, that's, and we talked about that when this all first took place. You know, we talked about, why don't we just take a little bit of a hit when we were talking to the state and this and that. And they were pretty adamant. They just wanted to choke people out at one time. You know, that's the truth.
They need to choke people out.
I mean, raise them up, just phenomenal. You know, where they needed to be.
Escalate them,
yeah,
on a dime.
But stuff still selling in Nebraska.
Yeah.
$5.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
Some office sent me a purchase agreement to buy 10 acres from me that I pay taxes on in Texas. And they offered me $2,200 an acre.
How much?
$2,200.
Oh, okay.
Because we'll have you check in the mail the minute you sign this.
Mike got one of those too.
Did you get one too? How many acres did they want from you?
It wasn't very many. It was like, yeah.
Yeah, this is 10 acres. Yeah. There's more than a pasture over there. Yeah, it is some sort of scam deal. They think I'm stupid or something, but she's a farm ground selling for 10, 12
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, that's pretty, really way too low.
Well, the crazy
yeah,
fools.
Way too
I mean, it's got ain't no good, but I mean, really. Yeah, well, it's all right, but it's also sand.
I haven't been on the uppity up. Is it still $10,000-$12,000 an acre yet?
No, it was good right now, but right, I just recently sold a parcel out here. Oh, I don't know, 100 acres, 120.
I'll call the County Board of Commissioners meeting to order. We've already done the Pledge of Allegiance, so we'll just go.
Okay.
We'll just go to the. Roll call, Joan.
Robert Heasy.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Yes.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
All right, thank you. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is public comment. Anybody with would like to discuss anything that is not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on to item 2, consent agenda, which is the approval of previous minutes, meeting minutes from February 22nd, 2022, and approval of payroll claims, which I went through today, and those are all okay for February 20th to March 5th.
So moved on the consent agenda items.
Kim, is the same rule apply in this agenda as well?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Second. Okay. Moved by Scott, seconded by Janet on the consent agenda. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Can I ask a question about Bob?
Yes.
Chair? Do you have a rotation set up for people to help you with this or not?
Not yet.
Okay, all right.
And I'm happy to do it.
Okay, I'm just curious. It dawned on me that I...
Yeah, no.
I get it on my calendar if I needed to be
yeah,
certain months.
Okay, I'll take you up on that.
Okay, thank you.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You can tell me any Monday, you can come. Any board members, anytime.
Yeah, as long as we know that there's not three of us sitting
right
here, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it. I like the way Janet had rotation because you know, back prior, you know, I would do it by myself as well, and I just think it's good to have another set of eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
okay. It's all good. It's
yeah.
just a different perspective when you're looking at the claims and what you're just the
right.
cheat sheet that you know Joan sends out.
Joan, are we calling Shive Hattery?
I'm putting a Zoom invite.
We can save that. Let's jump down.
Oh,
one.
I can try to
If he's not available, let's do that. Let's do that at the end, because we've got some folks here that may or may not have to be someplace else. So, if it's okay with the rest of the board, I'll move to item B under new business for the board to approve compensation for use of certified appraisers as referees for property valuation protests. And can we do 1, 2, and 3, Kim, or do we need to do each individually?
I would do each.
Okay, we'll do them individually. So the first one is to for this board to approve referee agreement with Innovative Appraisal Service, Inc. for residential and commercial.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Item two is to approve referee agreement with Standard Appraisal Services, Inc. for commercial, ag, and residential parcels.
So moved on them, Bob.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Troy on Standard. Would you call the roll, please, Joan?
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, lastly, number three is approved referee agreement with Helvig Agricultural Service for ag parcels.
I'll make a motion to approve the third one, Helvig.
Okay.
For ag parcels.
I'll second it, Bob.
Moved by Janet, seconded by Scott to approve Helvig. Call the roll, please.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I think I set my Zoom meeting accidentally up at 4 instead of 3, and maybe that's why Ron didn't jump in.
That's a good thing we waited. Mm-hmm. A good thing we moved. Okay, those are done. So then let's go to miscellaneous. First item is Jolene doing her highway superintendent road report. Jolene?
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Jolene. So we had 215.5 hours of blading roads, 5 hours of overtime, 34 hours of tree and debris removal, 23 hours picking up trash, 4 hours running the magnet, 12.25 hours on snow removal, 16 hours preparing signs, and we had grading requests for O Avenue, Blyberg Road, Dove Trail, and Fiddler Creek Road. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Some time ago, a month ago, I called Brent about grading the 3 roads that go north off of 12, up past Willis.
Okay.
And then catching 2 in that. Now there's about 2 miles, or try 2.5 miles up there by Rush's. Well, 2 of them got done going north, and the Rush's never got done.
Okay.
I was up there last week. They've been on Rush's. There's more yet to be done there, but I was up by there last week, and they're using a field drag to knock the washboard down. So they're going to have to drive on washboard. And there's a party north of 12 on one of those 3 that have used the tractor and blade to smooth out the washboards. So those particular, those 3 areas should be looked at every week. It only goes to the top of the hill. That's their problem. They take off on the highway, they had to climb the hill, and in no time they're going to have washboards. So it's just a matter of having to maintain it regularly.
Okay, I'll remind Brent about that.
And going south out of on Hubbard on M Avenue, for some reason, all the gravel's on the west side of the cemetery rather than on the east side, where it don't hurt a whole lot being on the east side. You don't get the washboard. You're not accelerating on the west side. And I thought Brent had that covered back a month ago when I told him. And he was in agreement. He said, yeah, it needs to be over on the other side. Well, it never has happened. So I don't know. I don't know if anybody from the road department drives on that road or what. I don't know, but it sure needs to be addressed. And like I said before, it should be graded twice a week. But because in particular, like this morning, it wasn't, I mean, yeah, it was cold and everything, but that's what don't freeze up is there's no moisture in it. The gravel doesn't. And so anyway, those areas really need to be addressed more frequently.
Okay, I'll remind Brent of those. Anything else?
Julian, one thing, the ARPA money or funds that we have available, I mentioned earlier on the roads. Would you, so we need to really start, and this week I'm going to try to get some things together and start, you know, putting some numbers down on that. So if you haven't yet, you and Brent maybe get together and maybe you've turned something in that I don't have yet, but as far as needs for on the road department or projects or things that you guys think need done, even if it's just a broad number. I mean, I don't
just
expect
looking for a number at this point.
Yeah, or not even a number, but projects or things that we could do as a county. That would be a one-time thing, and as I said before, everything we do is government services, and that includes roads and equipment and things like that. So, but we need to start formulating.
Yeah, we were talking about that this morning, and he had a few pieces of equipment in mind, and was going to try and contact some people to kind of get a price estimate on some of that stuff. And
okay. Okay, and I don't. I mean, if you guys, you guys know a lot more about, you know, what something costs than I do. Whether it's roads, and Scott, I know, has been around for a long time, and Larry knows a lot about roads too. But just in general, you know, this equipment or this road or this, you know, we've talked about this forever, and it just.
So you kind of want something by the end of the week? Is that what you're saying?
If you can,
okay.
If you can, I know some of these things take time, but even at a high level, you know, look, this costs $100,000 to do this, or this costs two, and so shoot high, but just something
okay.
that we can start to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Janet.
Are some of the projects on the 1 and 6 year plan are they already priced out? I can't remember.
Yeah, we have everything bid out on the 1 year plan. The 2 to 4 or 2 to 6 year, we hadn't started on that.
Okay.
But
I agree with you, Bob. It might be nice to see something visible for our citizens to see.
Yeah, we need to. You know, I know we've said numerous times that we have time, but the clock's ticking, and so we need to get them. And everybody's going to be in the same boat, you know, trying to get things done and things like that. So we do have I think we have to commit by 2024 and have it spent by 2026. But anyway,
I'll be here before you know it.
I know. Time flies.
Did Brent come up with a culvert list?
He was working on stuff today in the office, so I'm not quite sure what he was all getting done.
And then equipment. Is equipment legitimate?
Mm-hmm.
You go out and buy a motor grader?
I think so. It's government services. Everything we do is government services. It's for roads.
I know I watched one of them webinars and they talked about getting ambulances and stuff too, mm-hmm. so I guess I don't know why equipment wouldn't fall under that.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Jail report. Anybody?
Ron is on now.
Pardon me?
Ron is on now.
Oh, Ron is on? Let's anybody want to do the jail report?
No, I don't, but I think Ron can sit there for a minute if you just want to go with D real quick. That's what I would recommend to get, you know, Brian and...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. Well, if he was scheduled at 4...
3.
Oh, 3? Well, yeah, we'll just quickly touch on these other
content.
Two things. Ron, hang on. Okay. Let's go to then we have the jail report. We'll just enter that for the record. Item C is Lieutenant Brian Ellinger representing FOP Lodge 49 requesting board to approve Mike Weinberg to talk with Jerry Pigsley regarding possible contract issues. Brian?
Thank you. And the Washington County CIR that I
actually gave you guys way back when is the exact one that we're talking about here. And that's the one where, you know, Pigsley took Washington County for nearly $300,000. And I want to see, I want to make sure that the board doesn't go down that same rabbit hole. Because we don't want to go to CIR. It's just going to break us and it's going to break you.
Yeah, and I don't want to either.
So I guess, you know, Mike is the one that beat Pigsley in that 2011 hearing. Mm-hmm. So he knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. So I think it would behoove everybody to get those two people in contact and let them talk and see if we can work something out. You know, the first issue was the health insurance is a major or mandatory subject to bargaining, and that was not bargained at all. And then secondly, there is no arbitration clause in the contract you implemented, so we can't even go to arbitration right now if we wanted to. So that's what these two attorneys need to sit down and say, okay, let's hash this out.
Yeah. And I think that's what's on the table today, Brian, right, is to allow that to happen.
Right.
Myself, I have no problem with those guys, you know. So at least the conversation is I guess open, if that's what you want to call it. But,
right.
But and then we'll go from there. So really, this what Brian is asking today is for the board to allow those guys to talk, because they can't do that, correct, without our approval.
Right.
Is really what it boils down to. So.
Correct.
Anything? Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Any comments from the board?
I mean, me personally, I don't have an issue if they talk, just so we can try to resolve of, you know, put this thing to bed,
right,
one way or the other.
Right.
You know, I think everybody's kind of sick of hearing about it. So
any did I miss anything? Anything else, Brian?
You know, the only other thing I'll point out is Pigsley went against Dixon County either last year or the year before. They never went to arbitration, but he took $189,000 for them. I just found that out from the sheriff in Dixon County. So, slippery slope.
Yeah. So we need the board needs to either approve or not. And I will make a motion to allow the, to approve for those folks to talk.
I will second that motion.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Nope. All right.
In doing what we're talking about doing, we're saying that our team didn't do their job.
Not at all. Not at all. This is only a lot. They can't talk.
They can't negotiate.
They can't negotiate without talking. And this just allows them to talk. It's not, there's no, and that's all it does.
And it may not even need negotiation. It may be just communication.
Correct.
Understanding.
Correct.
Understanding, is that what it is?
Some clarifications.
Exactly. Clarifications.
I would think so.
Because nothing would be renegotiated without
board approval.
Right. And you know, we said, or I did before when Brian was here, that we would do, you know, what we could. Negotiation or not negotiations, but communication, and this is you know, he's asking for those guys to talk. They can't do that without us letting them do that legally, and so this would just let them do that. So there's no that's it, and I don't know where it would go from there, but
that, we'll soon find out. Maybe
we'll soon find out. So any other questions? We have a motion by myself, seconded by Scott. On that, Joan, roll please.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right. Item D is to approve projects. Okay. Pardon me?
Bring to Ron Hines.
You want to go to that?
Yep.
Okay. Let's go. Ron, I'm sorry. So we're going to go to you. Now we're going to go back to item A on the new business, under new business. Ron, are you there?
Can't hear him.
there.
I got down the right corner, down by the date, Joan. Just got to hit that or not?
What?
Over here, it's muted.
Oh, thank you.
Ron, can you hear us?
Yes.
Sorry.
We couldn't hear you for the last 20 minutes, so you got to start over.
We still can.
I don't know.
Can we hear him? Can?
I can hear him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Well, the last time we met regarding the jail expansion, the board had asked whether or not we could get a cost opinion related to the project. So I did solicit a cost consultant to provide a design development cost opinion for the project, and that cost was $8,000 for the DDs and for another $12,000 to do the construction documents once we move forward with those in a timely manner when they're about 80% complete, just to kind of verify costs at that time. So we did get those cost opinions. Don't know whether the board can discuss those now or not. But I did forward those to Joan, and then also the comparison with the schematic cost. And so I'd like the board to approve that to be forwarded on as a an expense for the $8,000 for the cost of maintenance.
And we just for the board, some of you may or may not have got that information. Well, you have it in front of you, but that came in at, 2 o'clock this afternoon-ish or something like that. So it's kind of hot off the press on that. So Ron, I guess a question.
Yeah, right now I can't hear.
Okay, Bobby.
Are we okay now, Ron?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. So I guess just for information purposes, so early on, the construction manager part of it, that the one company that kind of fell apart because they weren't a at-risk construction manager. Then these folks, Tribe Hatterley, then a week or more ago said that they could get us that number that we were trying to get from White's on a cost for the project, and they would do it for less than $25,000, and it didn't involve that other part of the construction manager part in the contract. So I think Ron, that's in a nutshell, that's what you guys are providing today.
Yes, at this time we don't have the construction manager on board in any capacity to provide any costs for us, and of course that's what was in our contract for them to provide that. So that is why I solicited a consultant who we've used in the past and does jails and prisons and cost estimating for those types of projects.
Okay, we wouldn't have any hard numbers until the bids were let out. But we have a couple of different examples here in front of us today, Ron.
Okay.
One is the one that was from October of 21, and then today's. We have a low range and a high range, and I know those aren't actual bids, but how...
Yeah, so in the October schematic design, we had estimated the project total project cost to be $12,983,545. And then for the most recent cost estimate, it's about $735,000 more. And the second, I'm trying to get to that document. At
13,718,153. And is that a, just looking at it, so without those bids being let out, Ron,
yes,
is that a, so one of the things that, that we've talked about is having discussions with our federal people. Are they going to be with this estimate here? Are they? Is this a, how concrete is that number? If
yeah, of course we won't get the concrete number until we actually bid out the project. But this is a cost opinion, and it's based on the market and starting the project construction in July of 2022, and so that's what you have in front of you. So yes, you could take this. It was my assumption that you wanted to take the board wanted to take this to the U.S. Marshals and say this is now our projected project cost. And you can see up on line 18, which may not be enumerated on yours, where it says design and estimating contingency, up below just the subtotal construction cost, there is a contingency factor of $1 million, $1,062,000. And so that we're anticipating that would cover any changes in the market to receiving bids in sometime in June.
So I guess just a in general question is how, without those concrete numbers, how sure, I guess, are you of that 14.3 number, Ron?
Of the 14, the high range?
Yeah, the high range.
Well, again, until you get hard bids, we may be in the 13.133, but... you know, this is an educated cost opinion, and it's something that the consultants that we utilized have done in the past and are working on many projects of these types to estimate right now. When you get into a competitive market, if we get three or four contractors bidding on projects, it could be the low random number of the 13,133.
Can we turn it up at all, Jane?
I don't know.
Well, I can't really. If you're asking me for a percentage of confidence level,
why the speaker's not on.
I don't know that I can give that. Again, it is a cost opinion. And until we get hard bids, the sooner the better, I guess.
Will fuel prices affect anything coming up, you think? Like delivery, fuel surcharges, things like that?
I think that we've included that in this cost opinion for now.
What have you got to audio?
And of course, we can't predict what is going to happen in the future beyond the 2022 July start date.
Any other questions from the board?
I think it's pretty informative. I think that he's covered all the bases. I think it's now, you know, for us to take these numbers to the marshals, you know, the feds, and see if we're still, you know, what's going on. Now, Ron, I've asked you this before. This is Scott Love. For construction managers at risk, okay,
We got to put that out to bid, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, and I've talked with some individuals offline here that at this juncture, you know, part of the construction manager process is to get them into the project early so that we can work out with them to create our early bid packages, get some bids out there, get started early. That was kind of how we formulated the project. And that's kind of passed now, so the quickest way to get a hard number of bid is at this juncture would be to use the design bid build process. And once we are approved to move forward with construction documents, we can complete those in approximately 10 weeks, and in 4 weeks you would get bids from contractors, competitive bids from general contractors. For one prime contract, and that's the difference in them. This construction manager at risk would hold several contracts with different contractors. The design bid build process would be a one prime contract with a general contractor,
okay,
who essentially would be acting a lot like a construction manager does.
Okay. All right, thank you for that info.
How much more does it cost to go to the next step with you?
I did not hear the question.
How much more money does it cost to go to the next step with you so we could go to the next step to bid it actually with the real people?
Our contract, I believe we have 40% more would be through the bidding process, which would be approximately $400,000.
For construction documents
and bidding.
And to get a really, really good idea what this is really, really going to cost, I mean, you would really have to send it out to bids to really know for sure, wouldn't you?
You do.
It's going to be a hard bid. It's something that we would help the board through the bidding process. We issue the documents to a plan room. Different contractors would check out the plans.
We would schedule a pre-bid meeting on site
with contractors. We would make any modifications or clarifications needed during the 4 week bidding process.
And they would receive bids and be there to assist you
in opening them, make a recommendation of the bid results. And then we would generate the AIA contractor owner agreement for you to enter into construction with a one prime contractor.
So, Ron, your... You've done what you can for us up until now, is that correct? And then our next
until the board authorizes us to move forward in the construction document process, we're pretty much on hold.
Okay, so I really think, just my personal opinion is that we're at now where we have a number that we can go with to the feds without moving on. We don't have that construction manager. There's no other. I mean, really, the only other thing right now to me, unless I'm missing something, is the $8,000 to approve or not for what they have done. So we have a number. So then the next step to me is a meeting with the federal marshals. Look, here's where we're at. Here's the number. Because I think that's one of the things that came out of the hearing that we had was that people wanted us to get to the number and try to figure out if it's going to work. So I really think that's where we're at now.
I got a question.
Sure.
Let's say you move ahead, and let's say this thing costs $3 million more than you know, you're talking with the feds. Who pays? How does it get paid? Where do you go from there?
Well, and to me, that would definitely have to be part of the conversation with them, because the either the per diem or the length of the contract are things that have to be discussed. I'm like you, I think, well, what if it costs this? Okay, and they're going to have to know that going in. So you know, we just wouldn't.
Like, I mean, obviously, the 14, the high on the high stand, the 14 million is some change. You have to go to the feds and say, okay, you know, this is what we've come up with our architect as of now. Okay, so our, this is our next step of putting it out to bid, and obviously, roughly is it June? Is that what you said, Ron? Then we'll, that we should be able to have some really hard numbers.
Yes.
Yes. So then we can, at that time, you know, we can, you know, once we present this to the feds, we can say, hey, you know, this is the next step. But they've done this before, I'm sure. So this is the first rodeo. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're going to expect a possible increase if that's the case. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's a legitimate question. You know, what if it is $2,000 or $2 million more? You know, who's going to pick up the tab?
Well, Sioux City's was it $10 million over?
Yeah. So,
I mean, I'm not saying this is Sioux City, but...
Well, if you figure if theirs was a $10 million increase, that's 25% of their original cost, which would make this, you know, this would have to be, yeah, in the $2, $3 million more, it would be a 25% increase in the cost. However, we got to get there first. Dana, did you have a question?
Ron, did you, this estimate, did it include the last set of soil borings that were done?
Yes, there's some over excavation that's been considered for the site, and in particular below the building, we have to over excavate approximately 2 feet and then infill with compacted fill, and so that's in that cost. So.
I was thinking when you talked to us last
time. We did not have that at SD's.
Yeah, it worked. When you talked to us last time, you indicated you thought it was going to be 10 to 15% higher than what your estimate had been before. So this is only like 7%, I think. So it came in better than you thought. Yeah, it's 13.5 times 10% would be almost 15 million. So it didn't come in quite as high as you thought, 10 to 15% higher. But yeah, we do need to have to take a number to somebody. Yeah.
I'm pleased with mm-hmm. the verification of the numbers that we had previously had,
okay,
being closer to the 7.5 or 8%, which the last quarter of 2021 there was a 7.5% increase in construction costs.
Any other questions from the board?
How soon we get an answer from the feds?
I would think it'd be pretty quick, Larry. I think by the next, we would, I'm guessing it would be by our next meeting, we may have something to move on. I don't know that for a fact.
Well, Tim's here. I mean, do you have any ideas, Tim?
I'll send it out today. Okay.
Do we have a committee? I really think if we sit down with the feds, we need to not only look at the numbers, but we need to look at some of those clauses and negotiate.
Right.
Negotiate an understanding instead of.
Well, you and I, the finance and budget, we can do. Unless somebody else wants to do it.
I mean, I don't care who's on it, but I do think it's more than numbers. It's actually
right.
Terms.
Right. No, you're right.
Terms.
You're right.
Yeah.
If not, Janet and I'll do that and.
And I wouldn't mind sitting in on it.
Yeah, and I think you know somebody from the sheriff's office should sit in on it too. They me I think clerk the budget.
Kim likes to go.
Yeah, I said.
Well, it kind of depends on when they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm going to have court almost every day in.
Exactly.
But you're kind of
April and May, so. Mm-hmm.
But if you could even look at the contract and go through and kind of look at some of those clauses and see if there's a way to tighten them up or not.
Mm-hmm.
Would be mm-hmm. key in my mind, some security. But yeah, I think it should be a committee, you know, somebody from the sheriff's office, Kim, budget office, Troy as a vice chair.
Yeah, because now we're at that point where it's I think we're going to get.
I don't think we spend any more money. I mean, zero money until we get an answer, because this is the whole crux of this was built on the fact that the marshals wanted this built facility, so they have to know. I mean, I don't think we've informed them how much what all we've done and how where we're at. So it's time to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Spend no more money until we have the conversation.
Good thing we're getting revenue from the fiscal federal here. That's pretty good dough. That'll help pay for some of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got $410,000. It looks like year to date. So that pays for about what we've spent. And that's about it.
Until the next step, that's another $400,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any questions?
So voting on this today, are we voting to take the next step?
No, I don't think so.
You're just voting on that $8,000.
I thought he said they were going to include that in since we as part of their package.
He says in the letter that we're being billed for it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be included in the $400,000 we've already spent.
No, it's a. They request, I believe, that we pay it.
Well, then you got to remember, we were looking at last meeting, or the meeting before, we were looking at $25,000 to
minimum.
Get this number.
Right.
Minimum.
Right.
So, here Ron and his company came in and said, hey, for $8,000, I can get you guys, a number that you can start with. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's what's on our...
It wouldn't take my word for it.
What's that?
It wouldn't take my word for it.
No.
I could have told him a long time ago, but I'd add up $15 million.
But anyway, I think the on today's is the eight.
I'd say so too.
The 8,000.
I'll be a little more than that.
10%.
Unless the feds change their contract with us, I can't see me voting for it. No matter which it is, I don't care if it's 5,000. We got to be sure. It don't fall back on the back of the taxpayer, but right now the taxpayer is getting ripped with high everything. We don't need any higher taxes. That one fellow was at the meeting, cost me 36, well, it was said, you told me that, but it cost me $36 a year more for taxes. Well, if this falls on the backs of the taxpayer, it'd be $136. It won't be just 36. And I'm sure he'd really be upset. So we'll go from there.
Any questions from anybody in the audience before we move forward on this part of it? If not, I think it is what it is. But I do think by the next meeting we could have
a lot of mental.
we'll have an answer on the marshal's commitment, things like that, and how we put that together, but it won't involve spending any more money other than the eight that's before us today.
I honestly don't even think we should spend that. I think we need to go to Marshall's and then see what they're going to do. We spent $400,000 already.
Well, somewhere along the way, somebody must have authorized them to move forward. To do what they had to do.
We wanted
a number. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like to me that's the only way we got the number, spending $8,000.
But I thought he said that they would cover it since we didn't have a meeting between now and between the last meeting and this meeting. That's what I thought he said.
And I think that's true. But what they did was help us.
Yep. Help
to
us get through this. Yep. I agree.
To get there.
I agree.
And so there.
But I'm not gonna vote for it. But I understand what we did.
Okay.
But I think we spent enough.
Right. But we were going to spend $25,000 to get to this number. That's the way I understood it. And I think
for whites to go back.
Yeah, for whites exactly to get us a number. But then all of a sudden it just so happens that I was in the courthouse. I was in the courthouse and he called and said, that was in the Jones office at the time and just said, hey, you know, we can do it for $8,000. And at that time, we were like, well, do we need to call a special meeting? And the answer was no. You do not have to call a special meeting because we, you know, we'll get it done for $8,000. And I know in normal cases that you'd have to have a special meeting to authorize that, but I don't know. There's a lot of mixed emotions on this whole ordeal. I mean, it's all over the place, and it has been, I think, since, you know, from the start of it. But what I find crazy, this is what I find crazy. You got an $8,000 bill that Ron and his company give us a deal to do it for $8,000 instead of us spending $25,000. And this goes all the way back to August, folks, that, you know, everybody approved to spend $200,000 out of the chute and didn't even consider on what was the next step. So, and I felt that at that time, you know, everybody was willing just to throw $200,000 away and say, no, we don't want to do this with the feds and this and that. Then all of a sudden the public gets involved and it changes some minds of the board members. So and now it seems like, I don't know, it's very wishy-washy, and it's messy. That's what it is. Very messy.
And you look the contracts over more and more, and that might have been a deciding factor also.
Well, I mean, before you spend $150,000, $200,000 or whatever it was from the get-go, I wasn't at that meeting. But I'm sure I'd have been on board, too, because I talked to Sheriff prior to that, you know, about what he had going on for the Phase 2 of the jail.
We were going to spend $225,000 to get a functional set of plans. Huh. But we got a little schematic thing that is... You couldn't build nothing with it. Good.
Well, but we knew that was the start of the plans.
Well, I didn't. I thought we were going to get a real live set of plans with dimensions on it.
This is a stair-step process, yeah. And everything keeps costing more and more and more.
Every
and more.
Step of the way that we're supposed to get an estimate, it never happens. Then we go another step, then we're supposed to get an estimate, it doesn't happen. Another point, another. It's like we're nickel and dime to death. We haven't been told the whole truth from the beginning on this thing, is what I feel like.
See, and I was taking in, you know, the sheriff's. What he said, you know, I didn't even have a copy of the agreement between the feds or the what we had with going on with the architect. It was never asked.
Well, this is where I'm at. Okay, so it goes back to the second meeting. It goes back to the second meeting that we had on this jail, and it looked like it was a 2-3 vote down. And in my recollection, that's going to be the case again today. And that's fine. I just soon put this shit to bed, say giddy up, forget about it, move on, and let's think about something else. Okay, that's what I would do. So
we got to first find out what the feds are.
Well, exactly.
I think
so
you're right. We
got to
go to the feds. But
I understand that.
Take this number to the feds.
Okay, well, exactly. So take the number to the feds. So so are you going to say no to Ron of his $8,000 by doing us a favor of getting it for instead of $25,000? Because what if they would have came back and said, okay, yeah, we're going to do it for $25,000. We're going to get you a hard number. Because the last meeting, correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of where we were going to. Was that the case or was that not the case?
I think I think the 25 was on the table. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I figured it was too. So and it doesn't matter. Listen, Ron, at the end of the day, we owe you whatever we've spent, the $400,000, whatever. If you guys got to eat $8,000, I'm sure if we move forward, you'll bury it somewhere. You'll get your money. So that's kind of the way that I look at it. So $8,000 and that kind of money is peanuts. Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
A lot of money. You think about how much beer that'd be.
It would be, but when you spend that kind of money, you know as well as I do as a business guy.
It'd be a truckload.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think we've talked enough about it. I don't know if anybody wants to talk anything else about it, but I'm...
Do we need a motion to go to the marshals with this number? I guess that's what
we just... only thing that's on the...
We don't have
that,
to do that.
I don't believe
we have
so,
to do that
no.
Part. Okay. All right.
Well, we need to move on. So this is what I'm going to do. It just says board to approve the reimbursable expense and the cost estimating consultant to deliver a project cost option on the Phase 2. So we'll just get this out of the way. I will make a motion, and we'll see where it goes, to approve the $8,000.
I'll second. Yeah, this doesn't stop the project. This just, you know, they did this to get us the number.
And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
So this, you know, this we slowly move on. But that would be it. But anyway, so we have a motion and a second. Joan, any other questions before we call the roll? Comments?
Thanks, Ron.
Too late.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet. No. Larry.
No.
Troy.
No.
Robert.
Yes.
So you just got screwed out of $8,000. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Have a good day.
He's going to bury it in the program.
He probably will, and that's what I told him from the get-go.
Yeah.
When he said we don't need an emergency meeting, but whatever. So we'll see where the program goes.
All right.
Ron, have a good afternoon.
Thank you,
see you later.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ron. All righty. Then we are back on the agenda to item D for the projects with the ARPA monies from the ARPA money from the last meeting.
I've never resent a motion before, Chair. So, and I know that I made the motion and Troy seconded. So,
I think it's just easy. You can undo it.
I can just make a motion. Do I need to state the date and what it's about or anything or not? Or do I just need to resend the motion, which is a part of the terminated employees to be paid for the clarification received from the NACO? From NACO, or I mean.
Your ARPA funds, yep.
Okay, on the ARPA funds. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm going to resend my motion. Is that okay? I don't mean to get ahead of you, but
yeah, and just for information purposes, the we cannot pay former employees.
Yep.
Right? Is really so the state statute prevents that, or does not allow that. So that's why where we're at today. So
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So Scott rescinded
yes.
that, and
I'll second.
Troy will rescind his second.
Yeah.
Vote on that, Kim.
Yep.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
What are you rescinding the motion?
We're rescinded because we were talking about the terminated employees that of possibly paying them as well with the ARPA funds. But we cannot pay the people that have been terminated or left, correct, between the March 1st of 2020 and March 1st of 2021. So NACO.
Premium pay.
Yeah, per ARPA funds. Money.
Per state. Per state.
Was that a motion you made last meeting?
Yeah.
That motion was made last
to
meeting.
To approve that.
To approve it. That we just
terminated. Essential worker.
Right. So this undoes that.
Yeah.
Undoes that.
Is that a word?
Undo.
Undoes that.
Undo that.
So then we need a motion on part two. Okay. So then we need a motion. That's been rescinded. We need then a motion to approve the current employees' ARPA premium pay for hours worked during COVID-19 from 3/1/2020 to 3/1/2021 at $150. Per hour for regular and overtime worked hours, which is the same as last time.
Right.
Just, without yeah, actual hours worked.
Right, without the others. So we need
I'll make the motion again.
Okay.
I'll second.
Scott and Troy on the motion to pay that $150 per hour for current employees. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
All right. Item E is a discussion regarding implementation of time clocks. We were a few months ago we started on that, and then Joan had some transition in her office that didn't allow for anything at that time. It wasn't a good time. And there's a few issues with the timing going forward on the time clocks. Joan, do you want to explain a little bit about the payroll and things like that?
We started out with our time clocks. We started out with a small group. And then my payroll clerk left. So now my new payroll clerk has a few weeks under her belt, and I have set up Nick to come back up and train again. I think it's next week. This week. Anyway, I don't have the date written down. We have set up, he has set up time and attendance for groups. So like the jail employees with their 12-hour shifts and their paid lunches is one group. And then the road employees, they are set up where their half-hour lunch is automatically deducted, so they don't have to come in and go back out to clock in and out for their lunch like regular courthouse employees would do. And we have a lot of offices that use flex time, which all has to be manually adjusted and entered. All the sick time, vacation, personal has to be manually entered and adjusted. When Nick was here last time, he said some of the county offices have moved their payroll to allow time to adjust all those timesheets. We can't get it done in a couple hours on Monday morning. So there's some options. We can train each official and department head to have the ability to do that they can get in on that time and attendance system and clock their employees in and out on it. I also would like your guidance on overtime, to use exact time or if you want the time rounded.
Which on overtime, what's easier? Or neither one? Exact time rounded?
The clock will automatically do it. Yep, he'll set it up. So if they would, within 7 minutes or 8 minutes is usually what you would round. If they would get there 7 minutes early, it'll still start them at 8. Or if they get there 7 minutes late, it will still start them at 8. If they would get there 8 minutes late, then it starts them at 8:15. Or we can just pay exact time.
I think you can just punch in the exact time. That's what I would do.
And people might have it's all done by the time clock, so it's not easy or not easy.
Oh.
I mean, you might pay a few minutes of overtime if you did exact time.
I was always a rounder upper or down. Yeah. One.
That's kind of the way it always was where I was at too. Rounded up or down.
Yeah, rounded up or down.
8:15.
And then, but when my gal, you know, feeds me all the information, mm-hmm. you know, and forwards it to me, she's like, "Why don't you just punch it in exactly if they have 40 hours or if they have 5.23 hours of overtime to punch it in just like that because it'll come up." I mean, so it makes sense. Otherwise, I would just round down is what I would do. Or round up, one of the, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, she wants to punch everything just the way I feed it to you, so it works out. So then they're actually paid for the actual time they're there, because if you round up on a person X amount of times, they're getting the benefit of the doubt depending on what time they show up, you know.
Or 7 minutes late every day.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, it could add up. So it makes sense. I think if this goes through or whatever's happening here with time clocks, I think it needs to be the exact time.
And then it tallies it up and gets your
yep.
end of the week. It's 40.1 or 39.2.
Yep. Yep. Like for mm-hmm. regular time 40 and overtime could be 4.36. I mean, it is. That's just the way it is.
So manager could see exactly yeah. when they're arriving.
And whatever, don't matter to me. You want to round up, round down. But like I said, somebody will benefit from that. But whatever.
Well, it takes the clerk's office, till from 8 o'clock Monday morning till 2 o'clock or sometimes later on Monday, you know, now. And I think it would be really beneficial if we had, you know, something like that. And one of the things that I keep going back to, or in the back of my mind, is Pam Bourne with NIRMA had a seminar one time, and it wasn't just time clocks, but from a legal standpoint, if we had an employee that left, and then there was a lawsuit about something, and the time became up. Like, well, let's go to their timesheets and see when they worked. Well, she mentioned that one of the first and really from the county standpoint, one of the worst things that you would have to present if it was whether with the unemployment or wherever it was if you go to somebody's time sheet and it says 8 to 4:30, 8 to 4:30, 8 to 4:30, and that's all they have, because really, so you can't specifically point to a time or like, you know, it's pretty vague. Let's put that, and that's one of the things she pointed out. So that was the first red flag when you look at time and how we keep.
So you mean if they were like terminated because they kept coming in late, but the time clock shows 8 with the right name? No, I'm serious. I mean, it's legitimate. I mean, but at the end of the day, or the end of the week, or the end of the 2 weeks, that's what they have wrote down, is 8 to 4:30. You know, I don't know. I was a big, huge fan of the time clocks, you know, back in 2011. It just seems like it got shot down, you know, back then in 2011, that obviously with elected officials and telling them what they can and cannot do with their office and that. So I don't know. I know it's obviously a change, because Larry's old theory of saying it's been that way for 100 years, you know, everybody's writing their time down. You know, so it's something different. It's not a bad thing.
Could be a good thing. Could save just time.
Yeah. Just, I mean, you got that many people, and if you're talking 5 to 10 minutes a day, just to say for instance, you know, you're talking a lot of money.
And I think as a manager, I mean, the clerk out here spends from 8 in the morning probably till 2 in the afternoon working on those. If each manager did their 8 or 10 or whatever they had to see, yep, that looks right. I think there's so many people looking at it now, the person, the manager, you, the clerk, entering it all. I think it seemed to be more efficient, because once they log in, it would log it into the system rather than it being manually written, checked, added up. And
honestly, myself personally, Jen, I don't know how it's working out for the clerk's office, or how every office is working. Is all the offices working with it? I don't know. Is it going
well? Well, it's not doing anything right now.
Right.
I mean, it's and that's just because of Joan losing some staff back when. But it's you know, we're not, and I had asked Joan that earlier, we're not reinventing the wheel here. There's other counties that are obviously using it and have figured out all these nuances that different offices have and things like that. So it's just a if Joan and her office is in better shape now from a staffing standpoint, you know, it's something that I think we need to, if she can fine-tune it and take a look at it going forward, and then we'll see what happens in January after Joan leaves.
Hey, the only thing I have to say is poor Joan, good luck.
If the other option is to change our payroll period to give us a day or two to get all the timesheets together, or approve them as per handbook and contract. We've talked about that before in the past too. That means the board would be approving timesheets per. I don't really want to go there. Okay.
So anyway, it's just a for discussion, and we'll. Joan has.
I think I get exact time. Is that everybody in favor?
Yes. I think so.
Yes.
And then your guy is coming sometime in the near future for more training.
Yep.
So.
So we'll get the department heads on board, and
and we'll go from there.
Okay. Department head and elected officials.
Yep. And the signature, where they call
finger,
it.
Finger, print.
Yeah, the keypad things.
Okay.
I think everybody's got their fingerprint in.
Okay. Oh, so that part's done. It's just a matter of. And even if you just give it a whirl for a few weeks, just a few departments to trial it out. Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Thank you. Item five is Commissioner Committee Reports. Scott, anything?
Couldn't do nothing.
No?
Sitting at home, not feeling well, but I'm better now. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh,
Janet, anything?
I haven't had anything that's from any means that I need to report here yet.
Okay.
Got some things working, but.
Larry, anything cooking?
Simple meeting last week. And it was pretty interesting. A lot of money being spent there, side of the river. So things are happening.
Somewhere, right?
Yeah. Somewhere, yeah. All right, Troy?
Nothing.
Okay. Just a couple of things. Friday, March 18th is the Northeast Nebraska NACO meeting.
Norfolk.
If anybody wants to, I don't know when the deadline is to register. Speaking of Simco, they are doing they're working on a project that they're looking at a bus transportation in the county.
We talked about that last meeting.
Last meeting? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not cutting you off, but yeah, I just remember them saying something. Go ahead.
They did.
I mean, yeah,
we got a shape.
So
yeah, maybe they can handle a bus.
Do they? Do you know what the status of
don't
that
get
application
me started, right?
is?
No, not really. They're just working on it. So okay. I didn't know. You know that. My first question was, well, you know, is there a big demand for that? And they said that to maybe BPI or Tyson or somebody out here, there would be that. So anyway, that's just in the works. Also, Wednesday, 4 p.m., City Hall in South Sioux is the TIF meeting for the Ho-Chunk Casino. Anybody?
When is it?
Wednesday, 4 p.m.
And then, Larry, we have a stormwater meeting on Thursday.
I saw that. I want to go there. Okay. They only have two of them a year. Did I read that right?
Yeah.
Well, Wednesday, what did you say about
Wednesday? Wednesday, 4 p.m., City Hall in South Sioux.
This Wednesday.
Our date?
4 p.m.
The date. Wednesday.
Wednesday is the 9th.
Do we have any information ahead of time to look in? Or the size?
This is in the packet there.
Oh, this is it?
Yeah.
I thought this is.
Is that 2021 stuff?
These are old ones. This is last year's report.
I don't think the new one's in here.
I brought a map to the meeting last time,
mm-hmm.
and then we looked it up on the GPS.
It's okay if more than three of us go to this? Or is that an issue?
If we sit all over
don't sit together.
We have to.
Probably not.
I don't think.
I probably wouldn't do it just because.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. So, Penny, who's going?
I'm
going
to go.
So
two of us can.
Yeah, right.
Janet, did you want to go? No?
Yeah, I mean, somebody maybe that. I'm not going to. I didn't re up, so if somebody wants to go, that
maybe
more, can carry this forward.
I'd go if you don't want to go.
Go ahead, because this is my problem. I get there, I'll get personal with it, because I've already been blighted. I've already been blighted, so it. Yeah.
Where are you on this map? Are you on this last map?
That was on the last couple, about 3 or 4 years ago I had one. Right where the oatmeal place is at.
Right over here? This one that expires in 2029? That's what I'm curious. So when does this one expire? Will we have any idea before?
Which, the proposed one?
Yeah, the last two.
Well, they're usually 15 minimum.
Yeah, the last two have been undetermined. I'm making for 50 years, the way it looks to me, the last two they did.
50 years?
As long as... 15 years past
15,
your last.
Well, I think
years
they can,
past the last.
I think they
piece
can re-up for 15, right?
But the thing is, they make you feel so much better, because once they tip it, you know, they say 15 years, but by the time they get started, you know, it's only 13 years.
Yeah.
So they really lather you up and make you feel good about it.
But the last two are undetermined. I mean,
right,
literally could go 30 years.
I've been lathered before by those guys. They're good up there.
Yeah.
Like them.
Yeah, and the county, from a county standpoint, we really have no say.
You don't.
At all.
You don't. So, like I said, the only thing I can tell you is it can be negotiated some monies to go back and forth between, you know, instead of them receiving all the TIP money, hey, maybe the county can get a certain percentage of it. Like mm-hmm. I said, that's what Wayne Boyd told me years back, so.
And they're going to give all the TIP money to the developer, so you have to do that negotiating with the developer.
Yeah.
Right.
How can you get an accounting to show, you know, what the costs are and what the revenue's been, so you know maybe it could be paid off in 12 or 10? I mean, probably is there a way to get an accounting?
It's probably all just a guesstimate, though.
Well, I think what some do is, or has been done in the past, is say in 12 years and it's going to expire, they can add on.
So
not only in years, but if they would do, Scott, you know, was going to expand his business and add on, then that just automatically, you know, he could re-up for another 15 years on the TIF. If you had more infrastructure to pay for.
So they can. You could be your own developer.
But yeah, I just think from a county's perspective, you know, Woodbury, I pay attention to what they do and with things like that. When they did Seaboard, the county, that was TIFed. And one of the things that they negotiated was that they paid back some TIF money. They had it broken down. It was either 15 or 20 years, doesn't matter what it was. But after the first year, I think 3.4% came back on the tax rolls. And every year, an additional 3.4 came back on. So like you're saying about, you know, there's money up front. And they don't have to do that.
They can be negotiated.
They don't have to do that. They can tell you, you know, thanks for coming, have a nice day. No, we're not going to do it. However, it's been done. And I think that's where, from our standpoint, is they're going to TIF it, and you know, so then there's the debate about TIFs, whether you like them or not, and from, you know, the one where the base is set, you know, we wouldn't see any, and in the past, the ones that have happened, I think they've all been the same, where if the base is $100,000, that's what we get taxes on, the $100,000, unless they, you know, they can build a $100 million facility on it, but we're still only getting on that $100,000 base for 15 years.
But if you stop and think about it, when they TIF an area, it's a new area, just like the Ho-Chunk right now, right? So let's just say, for instance, use for an example, Gherkin Window. When they did all the stuff out there, they TIFed that area mm-hmm. for the 15 years. Then all of a sudden, here comes Gherkin Window wanting to add more onto their building, etc., NPPD. And so then they just rewrite another TIF, is what they do. But like areas like mine, that probably won't be TIFed again because there's nothing else going on. I mean, I shouldn't say it shouldn't, but or it won't, but because it's possible. But the TIFs can be never ending. They can be never ending. Because if I'm not mistaken, out by Muskies and, like I said, out there by Joe Morton, you know, that's going to be a 30-year TIF by the time it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. You know, once it ran out, I don't know.
And up to 40% of, I think 35 to 40% of a city can be TIFed. Mm-hmm. But if you're annexing more space, that means your 40% just went up.
Yeah. 40% became all of a sudden not only 25%. So now you've got more area to TIF.
Right. As I said, as you add on to the outer boundaries.
And you know, this particular one, you know, with the casino, if it ever does get built, you know, that's going to increase our law enforcement, things like that, you know, in the long run. There's just going to be more things like that. So, but if so, we would have to mm-hmm. we would have to staff, you know, for that, and not be getting any more as normal TIFs go, we would not be getting any more. I mean, we'd get personal property tax revenue, but we wouldn't be getting anything on the. We'd still have that base for whatever that land is worth today when they TIF it. That's what it's worth for 15 years.
How many people are supposed to employ?
I don't know.
I suppose several hundred. It's a long time away because they're supposedly they're doing Omaha, Lincoln, and then possibly Norfolk, and then here.
What? They're building Omaha and Lincoln's first and then using the revenue from those.
So we're looking at 10 years or 15?
No, well, I don't think that.
Approving the procedures and everything.
Norfolk got a racetrack?
Norfolk
had a racetrack?
They're trying to limit it just to racetracks.
I know there's other talk about building them, but anyway.
When they annex this property, does the city then take care of the streets, the roads, the fire protection, the police protection?
I mean, well, that's when in they the annex city. All that, it's in the city limits. So
then at that point, their services, their fire department, their police department.
And our jail.
Anyway, as I said, from a county standpoint, there's really nothing we can do, but we can negotiate up front. And the worst thing to be happening, they tell us no. Thanks for coming. Have a nice day.
And we can't ask for an accounting, I'm assuming, as well.
Yeah, I know they have to report to the state on those numbers and things like that. But anyway, I mean, you know, you can have that argument. You know, do you like them? Do you not? Whatever. I mean, they serve a purpose. They do bring in revenue. For the city and the county, there's no question about that. But there's
some open houses on this capture the carbon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I've had some disgruntled taxpayers contacting my office about it. Tears running down their cheeks. They're all upset about it. I don't know. One
there's
in Wakefield,
two of them, isn't there?
Wakefield, March 10th, from 10 to 2.
Were they pro or con for the line?
What?
Were they pro or con for the line, by the way?
They were against it. They were afraid their land was going to get taken.
That's the TIF thing. The worst thing about it is, if I'm not mistaken, they don't contribute to the school system. Is that correct?
Yeah, it all goes to the city.
And that's a bad deal.
Well, on the base.
That puts the burdens.
Just on the base.
The 100,000 and not the million, or the 10 million. So
the city, 20 million.
Yeah, so the county
is,
doesn't get.
But they would, the personal.
They build a $10 million building and nothing goes, and they do pay into the school.
They'll have personal property tax for the machines and et cetera inside.
At least.
Well, but that goes all through the county will get part of that, and that goes all through the levies for the county and the school and the fire and things like that on the personal property. But on the real estate, it's straight. If it's 100,000 today, it's 100,000 15 years from now, and that's all you get.
That's the question. If they are leased, do they still have to pay personal property tax?
You'd have to talk to a lawyer.
Or probably Chrissy would know.
I don't know.
I don't think so because Tyson's, that's what they claim. Their equipment there is all leased, and so.
That could be. That could be, Larry. I don't know.
That's a good question.
Well, that's what
I'd like to know.
I'm afraid to know the answer, I guess.
But it kind of goes back to the, is that anything to do with our assessor's office or anything like that when we review these commercial properties? I don't know.
For valuations.
Should they still be tipped? Should they not still be tipped? I mean, I don't know where that question gets answered.
I don't think there's anything in her office that can do that.
That can do it.
No. Okay. Once they're on.
So I got a dumb question here. So it's not even a dumb question. The 21st, it shows the library at the school. So do we meet here normally, right? And then we just.
I thought you weren't going.
I'm not going. But I just want to make sure that I got to meet here at 3 o'clock. And then you just recess and then you go to your.
But there's no quorum, so I'm not sure what we.
Oh, there won't be a quorum at the school?
If there's not going to be, we can probably just adjourn this one then on the 21st.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else? We are adjourned.
Thank you. Good meeting.
We are adjourned.
415.